Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
So yesterday, David Letterman was arrested in the Ecuadorian embassy in London and dragged out to his car. Why was David Letterman arrested?
That was actually Julian Assange, Jack, co-founder of WikiLeaks. After many years there, holed up in the embassy, finally something happened. Why it happened and how it happened is a really interesting story in which the usual partisan lines are more or less useless, I think. Which is refreshing.
Yeah. I saw a lot of Democrats and Republicans wanting Julian Assange to rot in jail. I get a little concerned when Republicans and Democrats agree on something. sometimes that means this clearly obviously is a good thing. Sometimes it means it's clearly obviously a bad thing.
Well, Matt Zapatosky is part of a team that has written a really terrific and interesting piece in the Washington Post this morning. The title of which is, after years of debate, Trump administration chose to pursue criminal case against Assange. Matt Zapatosky joins us now. Hello, Matt. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it's our pleasure. So really thought-provoking stuff here about the press and the First Amendment, and is it a criminal conspiracy? But what are the two sides, if indeed there are just two, to the question?
Well, this is a really interesting debate. Julian Assange, of course, at some base level, is a publisher. He publishes information, and he's drawn the ire of governments because he publishes a lot of classified information. So for years, pretty much starting in 2010, after he dumps these State Department cables and Iraq and Afghanistan war documents onto the internet, there's this great debate inside the Justice Department. Can we charge this guy with a crime? The sort of hardest edge people would say, well, sure we can. Publishing classified information itself could be considered a crime, but then other people would say, no, that would make him just the same as the New York Times or the Washington Post. Their reporters publish classified information all the time. So at the end of the Obama administration, they're kind of in a holding pattern. His case is technically open, but they've decided they're not going to charge him because of the precedent this would set for the media, potential First Amendment challenges to the case. Jeff Sessions comes in as Attorney General, really wants to crack down on unauthorized disclosures of information, kind of dusts off this old case, and we're off to the races. And the climate by then, too, has changed. His organization has leaked a lot more stuff, most notably CIA hacking tools, Democrats' emails. The climate is just different, and that's sort of how they come to this decision that, yeah, they're going to charge him, and, you know, the debate will rage about the First Amendment.
Do you know in what way this is the same or different than the famous Pentagon Papers case that the Supreme Court ruled on, in which Daniel Ellsberg got a hold of documents that, you know, said some important things about the Vietnam War, and then they were printed?
So the way prosecutors view this case as different, you can see this in the charge, is that Julian, well, this is different from Ellsberger, a person like that, because Julian Assange is the recipient of information. He's not a guy who signed papers that said, I won't reveal this classified information which the government has given me access to. In this case, that would be Chelsea Manning, who was charged, went to jail for a while until her sentence was commuted. Julian Assange is a little different. He's the publisher.
So in this, so it's comparing it to the Pentagon Papers story, Assange is the New York Times, not Daniel Ellsberg.
Correct. But prosecutors see him as a little different because he's not just the recipient and publisher of information. The way they see it, he kind of conspired with Manning to get the information. And in particular, they discussed possibly cracking this password so they would sort of have administrative privileges inside the government system. They didn't. They weren't ultimately successful in that. And a lot of what Manning leaked, he had access to. They didn't need to crack any password. But what he was charged with was just this hacking conspiracy, trying to crack this password. And that's where they say, that's where the Justice Department sees him as different from a journalist. A journalist generally isn't going to break into a government office and get information. That's clearly a crime. They're going to try to coax people who actually legitimately have information to give it to them. And that person, the person giving the information, might be charged with a crime. But the journalist generally in Justice Department practice would not.
And this is where it gets so interesting. I saw Glenn Greenwald tweeted earlier this morning that the New York Times it installed, as I recall, it was some sort of phone line, something that obviously made it easier for people to leak information without getting caught. I don't remember the precise parameter of it, but Glenn asked, is that conspiracy to disseminate classified material? Are they actively now aiding and abetting the sharing of classified material and making them liable in the same way that Julian Assange is? Drawing that line is going to be a little tough, I think.
Yeah, there's so much gray area here. We at the Post have a similar thing called Secure Drop, where people can communicate with us anonymously over encrypted apps. They can share tips. They
well,
can
you're
share
a criminal
documents.
Then, clearly, Matt. Stay where you are. Law enforcement is on their way.
I think prosecutors would say Assange is a little different because he's sort of reaching out to Manning and they're trying together to hack a government system. This is, you know, there are interesting gray areas here, though, and the indictment also cites things that are just sort of common reporting practice, use of encrypted apps, encouraging sources to kind of cover their tracks. That is common reporting practice. And Glenn, who I really respect, is saying, look, even the hacking was kind of a cover-up. The hacking wasn't meant to get him more materials. It was meant to cover up the fact that materials already had been leaked. So is that so far off from using Signal? I mean, there is an interesting First Amendment question here. Prosecutors sought to narrow that by only charging him with sort of one hacking offense, not espionage.
Well, and how big an offense is hacking anyway?
Not that big.
Well,
so
that's
the one charge
say.
He faces so far is a 5-year statutory maximum penalty. And it's funny, in the federal system, nobody really gets the statutory maximum penalty.
So
if you think about.
So on what he's been charged with, he's facing a couple of years in jail if he's found guilty. So I don't understand why he couldn't claim, look, we got the information from Bradley and the thumb drive and all that. I didn't get it from the hacking. And I don't know how you'd argue with that.
Yeah, I mean, the trick here is it's not like hacking has to be successful to be a crime, and it's not like hacking has to get classified information to be a crime. If somebody hacked the Washington Post, for example, or sought to hack the Washington Post, we don't have classified information. That itself could be a crime.
Just to clear up my confusion, as I saw Republicans and Democrats talking about how Assange needs to rot in jail, that doesn't seem like that's even on the table right now.
No. Now, it is possible that they will upgrade the charges until he's sort of formally turned over to U.S. custody, which is a process that could take years. They could upgrade the charges. But for some people, this is kind of a, I don't know if you would say disappointing, but kind of anticlimactic end. It's not like he's charged as a spy or as an agent of a foreign government.
Well, and if he'd have cleaned up after his cat, he might still be in the embassy,
right? Matt Zapatosky of The Washington Post is online. Matt covers national security, among other things. I was going to make the joke that the various actresses who bribed their kids way into Yale are going to get five times as much time as Julian Assange. So it's a little odd we're paying this much attention to it. But
Avenatti is going to spend 50 times more time in jail.
Clearly, and should. And yes, I'm prejudging. But, how likely is the addition of, for instance, an espionage charge, Matt?
It's just so hard to say. I mean, on one hand, a lot of people would want that, and this is so surprising that he charged with one hacking offense. It's a 5-year penalty. But on the other hand, when you start to bring in espionage, you're really going to start raising these First Amendment concerns. And there's also a concern about his extradition. This is a very involved, intricate process, and if the UK decides we've charged him with a political crime, they will not send him over here. Espionage kind of has a political context. So do you slap on those charges and risk never getting him back? Do you just sit on the hacking charges, maybe add a few more hacking charges? This is going to be a tough call for prosecutors.
And the United States couldn't say, no, it's just a hacking case, then get him here and charge him with everything, including treason, put him up against the wall, because the Brits would go nuts.
Yeah,
that
that's
would
right.
Damage they the relationship.
Yeah, that's right. They couldn't do that.
Wow. This is so thought-provoking. That's kind of why it's fun. Matt Zapatosky, national security reporter covering the Justice Department for the Washington Post. Matt, always stimulating. Thanks a million. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thanks.
He's going to end up spending, if any time in jail, a very small amount in a not very scary jail.
Conspiracy to hack.
Right. He'll spend 2 years in a medium security jail.
And, you know, given the fact that,
he won't have his cat with him, but
he's been in a kind of a glorified apartment. Nobody speaks anything but Ecuadorian. There's cat crap everywhere. He could argue time served, right? Time served.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to be fair about this, and we're both free speech guys. You don't want anything that could in the future make it more difficult for the truth to come out.
I think Julian Assange is a thoroughly bad human being. I think he's an awful human being.
He hates America.
Yes.
So I think that's pretty clear.
Yeah, he's an America hater. He is more than willing to endanger innocent people or to spill national secrets that there's no justification for because he's a megalomaniac. I think he's convinced that he's one of the great people in history. I think some of the stuff he's leaked has been fine. I think it probably should have been leaked. Some of the stuff was terrible. There's no justifying it. So I don't like the guy at all. I think he's slimy. On the other hand, I get the First Amendment argument, and I think the government needs to tread carefully, but they are treading carefully. I think we may have lines drawn, or at least kind of better shading on some of this activity as a result of this case, as we work through it as a people, which I think is probably a good thing.
Do you think he'll end up in the United States?
Yeah, I would guess so. I would guess so.
I've sort of heard some analysts saying they don't really want him in the United States.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Well, I don't know. Who knows?
That's interesting.
Who knows? You know, TV lawyers.
I wonder, yeah. Well, it does open up a whole series of problems.
Sure.
Justice Department problems, PR problems. Might be easier to just let him languish in an embassy somewhere surrounded by his cat's poo.
Could shine a light on some information that people have forgotten that came out of it?
Yes, right. Now, because I'm also a bad person, I've been very excited about the idea that he's got his poison pills somewhere ready to get de-encrypted and disseminated secrets about the rich and the powerful all over the world.
Mm-hmm. Which he claims.
Yeah. Bring it on, Julian. Now's the time. Get that dang old beard trimmed and turn loose the gossip, man.
Cat scratch fever, I see. All right.
Very nice. Ted Nugent classic.
I'm going with the cat theme of the previous conversation.
Why not?
I would like to know what percentage of him getting this whole story, him getting booted out of the embassy and starting this whole story, is because he wouldn't clean up after his cat. If he'd have cleaned up after his cat, would he still be there?
And he wasn't paying his bills.
Would he have been able to live out the rest of his life there if he'd have just cleaned up after his cat?
From the Ecuadorian's point of view, this wasn't a delicate and complex First Amendment case. This was a crappy roommate.
Right.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.